translation. In this way, you will be freed from bondage to work and its auspicious and inauspicious results. With your mind fixed on me in this principle of renunciation, you will be liberated and come to me. So we'll just read the previous verse, because this verse is in relationship to the previous verse. Text 27. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. So again, this evening's translation. In this way you will be freed from bondage to work and its auspicious and inauspicious results. With your mind fixed on me in this principle of renunciation, you will be liberated and come to me. Purport by Śrīla Prabhupāda. One who acts in Krishna consciousness under superior direction is called yukta. The technical term is yukta vairagya. This is further explained by Rupa Goswami as follows. Anasyaktasya vishayan yartaham upayunjataha nirbandha krishna sambande yuktam vairagyam uchate. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.255. Rupa Goswami says that as long as we are in this material world, we have to act. We cannot cease acting. Therefore, if actions are performed and the fruits are given to Krishna, then that is called yukta vairagya. Actually situated in renunciation, such activities clear the mirror of the mind. And as the actor gradually makes progress in spiritual realization, he becomes completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, at the end, he becomes liberated, and this liberation is also specified. By this liberation, he does not become one with the Brahma Jyoti, but rather enters into the planet of the Supreme Lord. It is clearly mentioned here, Mam Upaishasi, he comes to me, back home, back to Godhead. There are five different stages of liberation, and here it is specified that the devotee who has always lived his lifetime here under the direction of the Supreme Lord as stated, has evolved to the point where he can, after quitting his body, go back to Godhead and engage directly in the association of the Supreme Lord. Anyone who has no interest but to dedicate his life to the service of the Lord is actually a sannyasi. Such a person always thinks of himself as an eternal servant, dependent on the supreme will of the Lord. As such, whatever he does it for the benefit of the Lord. Whatever action he performs it as a service to the Lord. He does not give serious attention to fruitive activities or prescribed duties mentioned in the Vedas. For ordinary persons, it is obligatory to execute the prescribed duties mentioned in the Vedas. But although a pure devotee who is completely engaged in the service of the Lord may sometimes appear to go against the prescribed Vedic duties, actually it is not so. It is said, therefore, by Vaishnava authorities, that even the most intelligent person cannot understand the plans and activities of a pure devotee. The exact words are tandra vakya kriya mudra vijinaha na bhujhaya chaitanya charitamrita madhya lila. A person who is thus always engaged in the service of the Lord or is always thinking and planning how to serve the Lord is to be considered completely liberated at present. And in the future, his going back home, back to Godhead, is guaranteed. He is above all materialistic criticism, just as Krishna is above criticism. Oma gyan timirandasya ginam gina shalakaya chaksurum militam dena tasmai sigurudevena maha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaka Dhamayam Dadanti Sva Padantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare So this is a very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita, in which Krishna is enlightening us how we can advance in devotional service by action in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes Prabhupada would describe Krishna consciousness as the art of all work. Generally, it is understood by those who are aspiring to free themselves from the cycle of birth and death, material existence, that action or work is the cause of bondage. And in the material sense of the word, that is a fact. Actions which are performed separate from the interests of the Supreme Personality of Godhead create reaction, create karma. Therefore, practically speaking, whatever a person does, separate from the devotional service of the Lord, he is planting a seed which will fructify into a karmic reaction. Every little thing he does, not just big things, but even the smallest action, which is separate from the interests of the Lord, produces a seed of karma. Now, Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī, he describes in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and Śrīla Prabhupāda elaborates in the Nectar of Devotion, that these seeds of karmic reaction, some of them are manifesting at the present moment, some of them have already fructified, and some are lying dormant within us, and in the future they will manifest as some particular reaction. But through the process of devotional service, these seeds can be burned up and they will not fructify, they will not develop. So a person may think, just like I remember, I met one boy one time at a university, and we were discussing this principle of karmic reaction or the results of material activity. So he said, all right, I understand that by engaging in sinful activity, I will get a bad reaction. But I have the answer to this problem, in his speculation. He said, I don't need a spiritual master. I don't need to read Bhagavad Gita. It's very simple. I'll just counteract all the bad things with good things. In other words, he actually pulled out a type of notebook, and he was marking down all the bad things he did that day. He argued with his brother. He shortchanged somebody. He did this. He told a lie. He did that. So he was actually marking down all the things he considered to be bad. And at the end of the day, he would do something, quote, unquote, good to counteract. So he was thinking that by doing something good, he would counteract the bad. And this way he would accumulate no karma. But we had to explain to this young chap that actually so-called good activities in the material sense, they also create bondage. Actually, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Śrīla Kṛṣṇadāsa Kaviraj Gosvāmī actually explains there's actually nothing good in this world. Even the good, that is bad. Even the so-called good is bad because it's not in relationship to Krishna. So therefore, how is the good bad? Because it's activity performed in ignorance. Ignorance of our relationship to God, our constitutional position as the servant of God, devotional service. So it appears good from a mundane point of view. But what is the result of good karma? One gets born in a so-called good condition. But actually the whole material world is hellish. Abrahma bhuvana loka punar avito arjuna mamopeti dikontiya punar janmana vidyate. Krishna says, even if one by pious activity, accumulated pious activity, good activity, elevates himself to the heavenly planetary systems, still one has to undergo so much misery. And for everything material that we enjoy, we have to understand that there's the painful side of it also. You cannot have one without the other. That is the counterfeit coin of material existence. It's like you have a counterfeit coin. It has no value on either side. So you flip it up and you get heads, or you flip it and you get tails. Both sides are bad. So we have to always remember that along with the so-called material enjoyment of material existence, there's also suffering. They exist simultaneously, side by side. Any activity that we perform in this material world, the end result will ultimately be suffering. Why is that? Because it is temporary. Whatever pleasure we have, we may enjoy in the material life, ultimately it is temporary. It will be taken away in due course of time. either within a minute, within a day, within a month, within a year, within a lifetime. But we're going to have to be prepared that that pleasure will go away, and that will mean suffering. So even if one is on the heavenly planetary system, where practically speaking, birth, death, old age, and disease are conspicuous by their absence, still, material nature is arranged in such a way by the Lord, there's also great anxiety up there. So one might wonder, what is the anxiety of the heavenly planets? Prabhupada said, although things appear to be very nice up there, people are always in anxiety. When will the demons come? That is the anxiety of the heavenly planets. And certainly, if everything is going very nice, but at any moment the demons can come and crash the party, then certainly one will not be able to enjoy. Just like Prabhupada explained, that of the four principles of material existence, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, which he sometimes termed fearing, eating, sleeping, mating, and fearing, he said the fearing aspect of material existence is the most prominent. And he would always give the example of a little bird who was like enjoying himself picking up the seeds off the ground. But if you watch the bird, he's always looking, where's the danger? And even though he's engaging in his activity, he's always in complete anxiety. So even on the heavenly planets, Abrahma, from Brahma's planet down to the lowest, all are places of misery, where we predicted birth and death. So there's no shelter within this material existence. It is arranged to cause us anxiety. Just like when the motor company creates a car, they create it in such a way that in a few years it will break down. That's just the way they do it. So that in a few years you have to start buying new parts, and eventually you have to discard the car and then buy a new one. It's all arranged like that. And if they wanted to, they could make a car that would last 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years. Some of the original cars, I don't know what Model T Fords were, they're still around. It's like we were driving here from Zurich, and I noticed that on the road passing us were some of these old cars, old model cars. But you don't see any recent models, like say within the last 10 or 15 years, but you see cars that are 30 or 40 years old, because they made them to last. So the point is, Krishna creates this material world in such a way as to cause anxiety. So ultimately, we will come to our senses and surrender to Him. That's the purpose of this material existence. Although we want to enjoy separately from the Lord, therefore the material world is there. Sometimes people question, if God is all merciful, why does He create a material world like this? But the response is, why does the government create a prison house? Because there's a certain class of men who commit criminal activity, and this is where they must go. But nonetheless, although Krishna gives us this facility to try to enjoy separately from Him, He teaches us an ultimate lesson by the fact that we become completely frustrated in material existence. And eventually, after many, many lifetimes, we have to take shelter of His lotus feet or His representative to free ourselves from this misery. So those who are transcendentalists understand this fact, that all workers ultimately has a bad result. Even if one performs, is very careful to perform as much pious activity as possible within his lifetime, still he has to take birth again. And because he's taken birth, he has to grow old. And along with old age comes disease and again death. So what type of bargain is this? So therefore, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes, actually there's no good, it's all bad. It's all bad because the result is simply anxiety. Just like Prabhupada said one time, sex life, illicit or illicit, it's all illicit. So although in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, I am sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles. That is a fact. But still, along with the act of procreation comes the responsibility and the anxiety of raising the children properly, both materially and spiritually. So, therefore, he said, just at that particular moment, capturing a particular mood, sex life, it is illicit or illicit, it is all illicit. Unless one is very careful and very responsible as a devotee, then of course it becomes devotional service. So actions which are performed separate from the interests of the Supreme Lord, they bring bondage. Another classic example which Prabhupada would often give was the prisoners in the prison. The person who is, there's one person due to his criminal activity, he's living in solitary confinement. There's no windows, he just has a board to sleep on, he gets bread and water. And someone else has been a little bit more good. So due to good behavior, he gets a special room. And he has television, and his family members can come see him on the weekends. And he has facilities to buy things at the snack bar. Actually, I recently read a newspaper report that part of the problem in some affluent countries where the prisons are so nice, the government has spent so much money, that the life inside the prison is better than life outside the prison. So the prisoners, they get out and they deliberately commit crime so they can go back in the prison because life is better. But this is a type of insanity. It's a type of craziness. Because although one has so much facility, still one's freedom is limited. So this is the point. Until we become Krishna conscious, it does not matter if we're on Brahmaloka, Siddhaloka, Gandharvaloka, our original heritage, our original nature as Krishna Das, Jivarasvarup Kaya, Krishnara Nitya Das, as the eternal servant of Krishna, the freedom to serve Krishna without any restrictions in the abode of Goloka Vrindavan, that is inhibited. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes the principles that we follow, the rules and regulations, the discipline of devotional service. He calls it the regulative principles of freedom. So an ordinary person may see a devotee engaging in activity, following the four regulative principles, following all the rules and regulations of sadhan bhakti. And he may think, these poor people, they have to follow so many rules and so many regulations. It's such a difficult, austere life. But yes, sir, so do you. You have to follow your mind and your senses, which are merciless masters. Sometimes this material energy, which is under the control of Durga, another name for Durga is Rudrani, the wife of Lord Rudra, Lord Shiva, Durga. So she's called Rudrani. So Rudrani means she who makes you cry forever. This is material nature. She who makes you cry forever. So our happiness, following our mind and following our senses. Patirna Krishne Pratasvatova, Vitobi Bhagyeta Grihavratanam, Adanta Kobir Vishatam Timisham, Puna Punas Charvita Charvananam. That because of their uncontrolled senses, persons who are too addicted to materialistic life, they gradually glide towards hellish conditions, repeatedly chewing that which has already been chewed. Punas puna charvita charvananam. And neither the efforts, neither their own efforts nor the efforts of others can wake them up to Krishna consciousness. So such foolish mudhas, such foolish asses, they are struggling hard in material existence, following dictation of the mind and senses. An impossible struggle. But the devotee, he is struggling to control his mind, to control his senses, and engage his body, mind, and words in the service of the Lord. So it may be difficult. The material life is impossible. We have to struggle one way or the other. You have to struggle also in spiritual life due to our past conditioning. But the future is very bright. But the struggle for material existence always ends in death, hopelessness. So though it may seem that a devotee and a non-devotee are engaging in the same activity, because the devotee's mind is fixed on Krishna, following this formula in the previous verse, yad karoshi yad ashnasi, yad juhoshi dadashiya, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. Because of that formula alone, under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, one is to be considered liberated, even while in this world. I was reading in the third canto just last night. Prabhupada was explaining Lord Kapila's teachings to Devahuti. And he was saying that even a third-class devotee is considered liberated. Even a third-class devotee. Generally, we think of a first-class devotee as liberated, but even a third-class. And he elaborated on that by explaining that because the devotee is following the instructions of his spiritual master, who is the representative of Krishna, who is delivering liberated life, devotional service, because he's just meditating on fulfilling those instructions, he's to be considered liberated. What is that verse? Iha yasya harer dasya karmana manasya gira nikalashti biyavastastu jivan mukta suchate. Jivan mukta suchate. He's liberated because he's in following the instructions of a liberated person. And as we're attending Artik and looking at the form of Jagannath, Subhadra, and Baladev, as we're attending Guru Puja and worshipping the lotus feet of Sridhar Prabhupada, as we're going out and distributing books, working very hard, sweating, planning, thinking, taxing our brains, we're doing it all for Krishna. So therefore, it's forbidden to think that a devotee is engaged in material activity because his mind is fixed on Krishna. Maybe his mind is not fixed on the transcendental form of the Lord, but it's fixed on the instructions of his spiritual master, which is non-different than the Lord. So therefore, a devotee is always working in this consciousness. In fact, he's working very hard. Prabhupada said, work now, samadhi later. We don't even care if we have to take birth again, as long as we can be assured that we'll get this opportunity to again perform devotional service. Especially we get this understanding in Sankirtan by preaching. Preaching is actually the highest taste. Mahaprabhu himself preached. The Lord comes to this material world to perform his transcendental pastime. And what is his pastime? Chanting, dancing, preaching, distributing prasadam. What are the activities of liberated soul? What did Sridhar Prabhupada do? Did Prabhupada stay in Vrindavan and stay in Samadhi in Radha Damodar temple? No, he came to the West and he said that preaching in the snows of Russia is sweeter than the sweetest mango. So if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for God's pure devotee, then we should catch up the secret of success, happiness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this Sankirtan movement, this preaching, it gives us a taste of the nectar that we are always anxious for. So this is Prabhupada's mercy, that he gave us our spiritual program in the morning, and he gave us various devotional activities during the day, so that we can completely absorb ourselves in Krishna consciousness. And anyone who thinks that that activity is material, he's fool number one. Sometimes materialistic persons, they may not be able to understand how it is possible. Some of the things the devotees do are liberated activity. But there's a warning in Bengal. If you see Nityananda Prabhu go into the liquor shop or into the brothel, don't think anything inauspicious. He's going there to deliver them from the repetition of birth and death. But in this way, if we strictly follow the rules and regulations, the regulative principles of freedom, we're free. We have the choice. They have no choice. They're just doing what the mind says, what the tongue says, what the belly says, what the genital. At every minute, they're simply falling. We have the choice. No, I won't follow my mind and senses. They've been bad masters for so many lifetimes. I'll follow the instructions of my spiritual master in Krishna and thereby be happy and blissful. Therefore, Krishna says to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, don't be worried about inauspicious and auspicious times. He's enlightening Arjuna to a very important point. You're going to die. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tyajati anta kalevaram. Whatever you're thinking at the moment of death, that state you will attain. Then he goes on to explain, this isn't an auspicious time. This is auspicious. When the sun is like this, when the sun is on that course, the day, the night, the season. He's explaining. But then in the end he says, don't worry about this. Auspicious and inauspicious. thinking of me. Always be engaged in thinking of me. And then surely you will attain to my nature, to the kingdom of God. So this is the beauty of devotional service. We don't worry about inauspicious. Death is considered inauspicious. We don't even worry. Devotee just is engaging in the process of devotional service, and death may come, and he's just distributing books, or he's worshiping the deity, or he's cooking. His consciousness is completely fixed. And then naturally he just continues on in the spiritual world, perhaps in another body. These things are of not much significance to the... Just continues, this is the liberator's. Just like Jesus said, one can be in this world but not of this world. An example is given of the lotus flower. If you look at the lotus flower in the lake, it's growing in the lake, and the stem of the lotus flower goes down into the mud, and then the flower grows. But you'll see the flower never really touches the water. In South Africa, I read this example and I said, I know that there's a botanical garden in Durban, so purposefully I drove down to the botanical garden, took the book with me, and went to the pond, and sure enough, the lotus flower was in the water, but it wasn't touching the water. Perfect example. It sits on the leaf, a little bit above. So that is the situation of a devotee who's always engaged in Krishna consciousness. He's actually not affected. He's liberated. What does liberated mean? He's not affected by the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. But he's always fixed in Krishna consciousness by following the instructions of his spiritual master. And that taste, again, is there when we engage intensely in these devotional activities, especially preaching, especially book distribution. It's like here in Switzerland and other countries under the direction of His Holiness Hari Kesha Maharaj. Devotees are so blissful, liberated. What is that verse? One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down under any circumstances, at once transcends the modes of nature and comes to the level of the Brahman. So we may be third class, we may be fourth class devotees. It may be. But if we're engaging in these instructions, following these instructions, liberated. Brahmabhuta prasanatmana sochati nakanshati. What is a symptom of a liberated soul? He's not hankering, he's not lamenting, he's Brahmabhuta prasanatmana, he's always joyful. So I wrote one letter to Hari Kesha Maharaj recently. I was traveling through this area, Yugoslavia, Bulgaria, Czechoslovakia, where so many disciples are there. And I wrote, I said, appreciating how the devotees are so determined to follow this instruction of Śrīla Prabhupāda, to distribute books, and therefore everything was so auspicious. We were supposed to come to give association, but actually, by the time we left, we were understanding we came there to get association. So, liberation is not a very difficult thing. Actually, Śrīla Divamangala Thakura, he said liberation simply waits standing with folded hands at the doorstep of a devotee who's engaged in devotional service. We're not even concerned about liberation. But it's there just by engaging these activities. So we should always remember this and follow this plan of Śrīla Prabhupāda, 24 hours a day to be engaged in Krishna conscious activity. Our sadhana in the morning and our service during the day, and again some sadhana at night. And then liberation. More than liberation, Krishna consciousness, devotional service. So I'll read once again. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. In this way you will be freed from bondage to work in its auspicious and inauspicious results. With your mind fixed on me and this principle of renunciation, you will be liberated and come to me. So, are there any questions or comments? I'd like to give an example how someone becomes Krishna conscious by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, even doing inauspicious things. That's the potency of Krishna consciousness. Even if one is doing something inauspicious, generally we come to devotional service, well, it's stated that by many lifetimes of pious activities, one gets the opportunity to associate with the devotees of the Lord. But even if one is rascal number one, still Mahaprabhu can deliver that person. We were recently in Spain, and there's one devotee there. His name is Surya Narayan. And he told me a very interesting story, how he came to Krishna consciousness. He was a banker, a very materialistic person, addicted to wine.
This word is like transcended all other languages in ISKCON. You know, in France they say, voilà Prabhu, je suis vraiment fried. That means I'm very, it's an English word, but je suis, I'm really fried. Je suis vraiment fried. I'm very fried. Did they use that word in Italian also? How do you say I'm fried? In Italian. How do you say? Fritto. I'm fritto. Cooked. So, in some ways, it's not bad to be fried. But you want to fry the right seed, not the wrong seeds. We don't want to fry the bhakti lata bij.
And gambling and so forth and so on. He had a big beard and a fancy suit. So he had some business. His company sent him up to Paris. So he was in Paris. He did his business. He visited some bars and he made money. And then he got back in the train and he had a hangover. And yeah, he was sitting there in first class. This was some years ago. And he had some change in his pocket, some francs left before the train went back to Madrid. And one person came up to him, one young lady, dressed in Western dress, and she said, could you please give a donation to help our farm project? We're living a simple life, and simple living with high thinking and helping people. Simple mantra like this. Yeah, I've got some change left. So he reached in his pocket, 80 francs or something, put in it. Anyway, I can't use it, it's just change. So she said, oh, thank you. So she pulled out two books, volume one and volume two of the Krishna book. She said, I'd like to give this to you as a present for helping our community.
Yeah, all right.
Took out his cigarette, you know. He said, what is this? He said, this is some kind of sect. This is some kind of cult. He said, what is this? He became very disgusted. He threw the books on the ground. And he got very angry that this young lady had come, requested a donation, and given these books about God. So he went to the station master. You know, the train was leaving at 10 or 15. He went to the station master and he said, you know, there's some young girl, she's representing some cult or something like this, and she's sold me these two books about this Krishna. Have her arrested immediately. So the station master, he called the gendarme. And together, the gendarme, station master, and the man they went looking for, they found her. They dragged her out of the compartment. The police arrested her and dragged her off to the, he was very good. I've done my job. He got back in the train and he was arrested this nonsense. So, Hatimata, this is the greatest offense of the holy name, to blaspheme devotees who have dedicated their lives. We're preaching the glories of the Lord. He disrespected revealed scripture, thrown it on the ground. He committed so many offenses directly to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. This Mataji could have kept going on, distributing so many books, and she went to jail for the night. So in so many ways, he impeded the Sankirtan. He was offensive. Anyway, On the way down to Madrid, he got a little bit bored, enough to do so. The books that are there under the seats. Pulled these books out. Just mighty. I'll look at the pictures, you know. Started looking at the pictures. And, you know, kept looking and, oh, who, Krishna, the Supreme, human form of life is meant for me. Only those who are fools and rascals will avoid the mercy of man. So he was like that. By the time he got to Madrid, he felt horrible. He realized what he'd done. There was nothing he could do. So he took those books and he put them very carefully in his bookshelf. And then again, he became covered by the material energy. He completely forgot. 3 years later, in a time of great distress, he'd lost some close family member and business was going bad and the kids were doing bad in school and everything was... In desperation, he went to those books and he pulled them out and he read them from cover to cover. And then he decided, I don't want any more of this materialistic life. I want to be a devotee of Krishna. He sold his house, gave up his business, went to the temple and became a first-class devotee of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada ki! So now he's a very nice devotee. He's actually the temple treasurer in Barcelona. So, you know, generally we think auspicious, inauspicious, whatever. The mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so powerful it will deliver everyone. This is the beauty of Sankirtan. Prabhupada said, you make your life fortunate by distributing these books and you make other person's life fortunate. And then all the bad and the so-called good in this material world will just vanish with the mercy of the Sankirtan. Srila Prabhupada ki, Jagannath Subhadra Baladeva ki, Sri Ratha Yatra Mahotsava ki, Gaura Premanande.
Hare Krishna. After this most inspiring Bhagavad Gita class, we're trying to give a little introduction to tomorrow's Ratha Yatra Festival of Lord Jagannath.